Psalm 20 is our passage this morning, our scripture found on page 859. And, you know, many of us, who hasn't sort of said, Lord, please hear my prayer, hear our prayers. We long that the desires of our hearts, the plans would be establish the work of our hands. How many of us haven't said that? And this psalm catches that. This is a psalm of David that reflects that same desire. Lord, hear my prayer. Grant our requests. Give us the desires of our heart. And then this wonderful, wonderful, and listen for it, the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord. The name of God is really the way God reveals himself. We can't know everything about God, but how God names himself and what we do know about him, we're going to talk about that this morning. We trust in that. And so listen for that, and just may these words be really all of our words. Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of God, the God of Jacob, protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary. May he grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept all your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious, and we will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant you all your requests. Now I know that the Lord saves, another version says he gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. O Lord, save the King. Answer us when we call. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So let's go to the next slide. In God we trust. It's been our national motto since 1956, Dwight D. Eisenhower. And there's not a coin in your pocket or a bill in your wallet that does not have that phrase, in God we trust. Just as a side note, I've noticed that since 2022, on our U.S. quarters, George Washington has his back turned toward In God We Trust. I hope there's nothing more than coincidence about that, and that's not our focus this morning, but I want to just show that slide. Because our focus this morning is In God We Trust with this question. And the next slide, please. Who is the God? Who is the God in whom we trust? Each of the world religions view God differently. Islam means submission to the sovereignty of God, but no one dares call him Father. Buddhism, believers of Buddha call their God extraordinary, but not a creator, nor an eternal being. And Hindus believe God has many manifestations, but their only hope really is for a better reincarnation. There's a modern-day parable about a man stuck in a pit who needs to be rescued, and an Islamic follower comes by, looks down into the pit, and says, it's Allah's will that you are in the pit. A Buddhist looks down into the pit and says, your pit is a state of mind. Just lose your desire to get out of the pit. A Hindu disciple looks down and says, work and pray in the pit, and someday you'll be reincarnated into something else. In just a few minutes, we'll share how the God, our God of Christianity, is the only God who goes down into the pit for the rescue and for the save. Next slide. So our message this morning is that the God in whom we trust is one God revealed in three names, revealed in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Tri-unity. We can maybe think of, say, we can think about this like the H2O compound that we learned in science for water. There's H2O, liquid, running water. There's H2O, gas, vapor. There's H2O, solid, ice. One H2O revealed in liquid, in water, steam, and ice. Or think of this human being standing before you, revealed as a son of Garrett and Alice Biker from Northwest Iowa, a grateful husband of Kathy Heisinga, and a proud father of 7 kids and 23 grandkids. So we call this Christian view of God in whom we trust Trinity. One theologian summed up the Trinity doctrine as God, the God who reveals himself. God who is revealed, the Father, our Creator, God the Son, our Savior, God the Holy Spirit, our Helper, our Paraclete. God is so big, so immense, that no human mind can comprehend him. We can only know God as he names himself, as he reveals himself. Blessed is the name of the Lord. And so our message map this morning, next slide, is exploring the three-in-one mystery of the triune God in whom we trust. One God, three persons, God the Father for us, God the Son with us, God the Holy Spirit within us. God for us, Father, God the Son with us, God within us, the Holy Spirit. Next slide. So our triune God begins or reveals himself as God the Father, God for us. Lee Strobel, in a book called A Case for Grace, tells of Stephanie Fast, who was conceived by a Korean mother and an American GI during the Korean War. When Stephanie was 4 years old, her single mom hugged her, cried over her, and then put her on a train and left her. It's hard to imagine that for 3 years this little girl wandered alone in the Korean countryside, stealing food, sleeping in holes, surviving on insects and frogs, abused and rejected Toji, half-blood. She thought of herself as walking garbage. That's where a Christian woman found her, dying of cholera on a garbage heap, a diseased, cross-eyed, lice-ridden, scar-pocked, nightmare-looking little girl who looked far too gone. But God stopped that Christian woman and spoke two audible words to her. She's mine. Those, friends, are election words. Those are adoption words. She's mine. And the Bible proclaims that about God. The name of our God is God the Father who adopts us. The Bible says that we believers share an adoption to sonship, to daughtership, and we cry, Abba, Daddy, Father. Also, the Bible says, what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Spiritually speaking, you and I are like Stephanie. We're born of a faithless father, Adam, who betrayed his high calling and left us all abandoned, without hope and without God, Ephesians 2 tells us. without God in this world, we wandered in loneliness, dying on the garbage heaps of this world, but God looked out from eternity past. She's mine. He's mine. And today we celebrate that this God in whom we trust is God, our heavenly and loving Father, for us, adopting us. You're mine. I choose you. Secondly, next slide. Our triune God also reveals himself as God the Son, God with us. Christian missionary was talking with two men from different religions. Both were telling him about how all religions are pretty much the same, maybe some superficial distant differences here or there. And the missionary listened for a while and he said, "So let me see if I understand. It's like whatever you call God is at the top of the mountain, and we're all here at the bottom of the mountain, and you're saying that you may take your path up the mountain, and I may take my path up another path up the mountain, but in the end, we all find ourselves at the same place." And they both kind of smiled with a thumbs up kind of grin and said, "Exactly, you understand." And then the missionary said, what would you think if the God at the top of the mountain didn't wait for us to go to the top of the mountain to meet him? What if the God of the mountain came down the mountain to where we are?" And they paused and agreed, "That would be great." And then the missionary smiled and said, "Let me introduce you to Jesus Christ." Friends, that's the gospel. That's the good news. That the God of love, the God of heaven, came down to be with us. Remember the man stuck in the pit with all the religious folks gathered to give him all the kinds of advice of what to do to get out of the pit. Only the God of Christianity comes down into our pits of sin and shame to rescue us. The good news of the Christian faith is that God is what God the Son has done. It's not what we do, it's what He's done to save and rescue us. Jesus Christ, God's Son, came down to personally pay our sin penalty. He paid a debt He did not owe, because we owed a debt we could not pay. God said in the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, "Call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. God with us. All other religions prop their ladders against heaven's wall and make all those rules about what we have to do to climb up to where God is. Christianity alone proclaims, it declares, that's the gospel. This is what God has done in Jesus Christ. The God Son of God, the name of God, the God with us has come down the ladder to save and to rescue us, all of us who are lost. What an amazing Emmanuel truth. God has come down to be with us in Jesus. And even more, there's more. Remember Jesus' promise to his disciples the night before he died? He was going to go prepare a place for them, for us, those who believe in him. And in the words of John 14, he said, "Here's the reason why: to take you to be with me, that where I am, there you may be also," forever to live with him. With him, the God, the Son of God, the name of God, Trinity, God the Father for us, God the Son with us. And now, next slide. Our triune God reveals himself as God the Holy Spirit within us. Remember in the Old Testament, God first came to dwell within the tabernacle tent built by Moses. All of Exodus, last half of Exodus is about that. the detailed instructions, first the instructions, and then the very act of building. It was so important to get it precise, to get it right. And then in the last chapter, chapter 40, we read how God came down to dwell within the tabernacle tent, that there was wind and there was fire, and the Bible says, verse 34 of Exodus 40, the glory of the Lord filled that tabernacle tent. God's presence within the tabernacle tent of Moses. Later in the Chronicles, we read of Solomon's temple now. The tent is being replaced by a grand building, the temple. And God came to dwell within that grand, majestic temple. Again, wind and fire. And the Bible says, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1, when Solomon, who built and dedicated that temple, finished praying, then fire came down from heaven, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. God's presence dwelling within the temple, the majestic temple built by Solomon. But then in Acts, at Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, God's Spirit comes to dwell within the church, within us, God's people. The Bible says when the day of Pentecost had fully come, suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the blowing of a mighty wind, and they saw what seemed like tongues of fire that came to rest on each of them, because the glory of the Lord was dwelling within His church. Paul says God's church, Ephesians 2:22, is being built together to be a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. We're being built together for that purpose. Paul tells us, in fact, that each of our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. So who is this God in whom we trust? We believe triunity, three in one. God revealed in the Bible, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Trinity. This is the name of our God, one God revealed in three persons. Now, as we close, just three kind of how to do these things. Next slide. So how do we trust God, the Father? How do we trust that God is for us? Sometimes when we think of fathers, we know in our own experiences, we know who our human fathers, how imperfect we are. And often those models do not give us the best way in which to think of God in all the fullness of the good, good Father that He is proclaimed to be. But to trust Him as a Father who really did say, out of that garbage heap where you were without hope and without God, I have set my love on you. That when Jesus said, when you pray as disciples, listen, this is how you have to start it. Our Father who art in heaven. Jesus also explained, he was talking to folks that were imperfect fathers. He said, if you who are evil, imperfect, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will not the Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? To think and to really trust with everything in us in that good, good Father who cares for us. And if He did not spare His own Son on our behalf, how much more will He not give you good things, the Bible says. Think of Luke 15 and the prodigal son, this old man doing a very disrespectful act, running like crazy to meet his repentant son, because everything was about that son and that relationship. If God our Father, Paul says, is for us, who can be against us? Secondly, we ask, how do we trust God the Son? And now we need to think of really friend, just a best friend. The one who gave up everything to come down to die for us. Those are words we've heard so much, it's hard to even fully comprehend or embrace them in a practical way. But God is for us or with us. We can trust a God who promises, I will never, never leave you. I will never, never forsake you. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. A beautiful song we love to sing, but how much more beautiful to really live out of the truth of that when so many things can besiege that fact. To trust a friend. A true friend. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother, according to Proverbs 18:24. The Bible says, this is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and he sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is the Son of God who comes down into our pit of sin and hell and shame, and he comes to rescue us. He does something about it. He's the one who, the true friend, who lifts us out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and he sets our feet on a rock. Or as Psalm 20 also said, they are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and we stand firm because we have this victorious King who's not only out there in an abstract way, but he's here with us. And he promises to be our friend, a friend who will never, ever betray us. And he promises also that this will continue on for all eternity, that where I am, there you will be with me, a friend forever, friend Jesus. And then we ask, lastly, how do we trust this Holy Spirit, the one who is within us as believers? And maybe to continue with the F words, there's a Father, a good, good Father, and there's a good and true friend. But maybe we can use the word a former, somebody who forms, who shapes, who molds something in us. We can trust the Holy Spirit at work. That the one who began a good work will bring it to completion till the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. When the great sculptor Michelangelo, who did that magnificent statue of David, looked at a piece of marble, he would tell how he could carve such amazing pieces of work. I saw an angel in that marble, and I carved until I set it free. And in many ways, the work of the Holy Spirit within us is always to shape us, to form us. And friends, it's especially during the difficult times. Because often when we're riding the high wave, everything's going great. We don't think we really need it. But it's when we're down there and we're hurting and we're struggling, and don't overlook that amazing forming, shaping work of the Holy Spirit. You know, the verse right after, we know in all things God works together for the good of those who love him and call according to his purpose. We love it. But then it goes on to say the purpose of all of that, that it's to conform us to the image of the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit's like our personal Google. We can trust God's Spirit. Jesus said, John 14:26, to teach us all things and to bring to our remembrance all that Jesus said. And he's like our spiritual GPS to help us find our way through life's journeys. God's given us the Holy Spirit to help us find our way. We don't know. And when we ask, honestly, have not because you ask not, If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask the Lord, on and on. But we have a promise that the Holy Spirit can point us in the right direction. So now as we close, I'm going to actually ask you to stand, and we'll stand for our song too, but I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to recite the Apostles' Creed. And here's why. When the Apostles' Creed was written 300 years after summary of the Christian doctrine, it was basically outlined on this Trinity doctrine. And so as we say this together, may it not only be a confession of words that we believe as doctrines, but may it be from our heart, because we trust in the name of our God, God for us, our Father, God with us, the Son, God within us, the Holy Spirit. Let's say it together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come again to and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now as we're going to sing also, Come Thou Almighty King, notice that each of these verses, first we sing, Come Thou Almighty King, help us thy name to sing, Father All Glorious. Second verse, Come Thou Incarnate Word, Jesus the Son. Third verse, Come Holy Comforter. Then we'll have the blessing. And then the wonderful last verse, To the Great One in Three. So let's lift our praises on Come Thou Almighty King.